Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. What do you do during challenging times when things are not going your way? Maybe it's in your own personal life, but maybe it's in the world around you and that you feel like just there's bad luck or things going wrong everywhere. So our point of view and what we want to talk about today on this episode is that our dreams, our goals, our visions for the future are extremely powerful, especially during these kinds of difficult times. And I think it's really important to start by saying that our dreams can seem sometimes as very fluffy or very light because they're not very tangible. I mean, quite literally, they're intangible. And so we might just like brush them off as nothing and just a passing fancy. And then we go back to our very logical thinking or look into circumstances and conditions to determine what to do next or what's possible or what changes we can make when the real power comes from our dreams and what we would love to create, what change we would love to see in our life, and let that inspire us. So we're going to get more deeply into the power of that in this episode.
Yeah. And I feel like just from, you know, the very beginning about thinking about it being light and fluffy, it's like when you do have a dream or you do kind of outline some goals, it's not like something that you just look at or think about one time, right? It's something that you're going to probably come back to on a daily basis or even like on a thought by thought basis, that you're going to continue to think about it more and more and more. And that's also going to help you kind of, I guess, be able to build resilience through difficult and tough times, because it gives you hope. Like it gives you hope for some type of future or some kind of thing that is beyond the current circumstances that you're seeing. Kev, I think that that was really good that you brought that up about dreams sometimes seeing light and then us kind of snapping back to reality and looking at our circumstances and our like what's in the world around us. And I think that's really the key to having dreams and having goals and having hopes in times that are super difficult, is because it gives you that chance to lift out of it and not be kind of controlled by your circumstances, to say, yes, like this is what I'm seeing right now, but like what perception shift can I kind of make in my brain to say what could possibly be instead of what am I just looking at? And I think that's kind of what humans have relied on for a lot of things during tough times. So
yes,
I think for me, like when I'm hearing this, it's like hope.
Right. Or faith.
Yeah.
Belief, you know, and that, I mean, heck, that's like the spiritual side of it, I believe. That, or the like you even use the word that is one of our mental faculties, perception. You know, it's the perception shift, which logically or tangibly, it doesn't make sense sometimes to like perceive differently, like, oh, there's potential here, there's possibility. Yes, there's difficult times, or that there's circumstances or conditions that seem opposing to what I want to create or what or how I would like my life to go. But that doesn't mean that there's no possibility. And in fact, it could be actually to our benefit to have those kinds of challenges. And then that shift in perceptions, that we have to dig deeper into a reservoir of understanding. And again, perception shift to, I don't know, rely on spirit, rely on source, rely on God, rely on the universe to support us through that challenging, difficult time. Because even though it is intangible, like the dream that you may have or the goal that would see you through, it's what shifts and changes your personal energy to be able to be different or act different or think differently, so that you can create those different changes. Like that actually, dude, that brings up some idea that I've been thinking about a lot recently in this last couple of months, that a lot of us, I think, still operate unconsciously from a place of thinking that conditions dictate our future. We don't even realize we're doing it, but we look to our bank account, or we look to our current job, or we look to the current state of our relationships, whether we have the kinds of relationships we want or not yet. And we think, and we allow our thinking to be dictated by what we see, physically see with our five senses, or can perceive with our five senses, and then just shut down, versus the real power comes from seeing those things, but then determining through our perception to see beyond them, quite literally see beyond them, but through a more spiritual perception, a spiritual viewpoint, a spiritual seeing.
And if you kind of just think about that from the simplest terms, or just think about anything that has ever been invented in life, like that's kind of the process that those inventors and those people that brought about new things are going through. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
No one ever looks to a circumstance and experience and then a new invention just comes out of it. It's because they're right. looking to that circumstance and experience and thinking, okay, like, what can I do to fix this? Or what can I do to get us out of this problem? And it's that kind of new thinking that progresses the human species and progresses our world, to be honest. Right. And I guess I just want to speak a little bit to that point about when you're looking to circumstances and conditions, and let's say the circumstances and conditions are stressful. It's like when you attach yourself to those circumstances, you're going to feel stress in your body and your nervous system is going to go into fight or flight, and you're not going to be creative at all. Like, your vision's going to narrow. You're just going to be focused so much on the problem. Your physiology is going to change. And this idea of thinking about a dream or a goal kind of shifts you out of that and puts you more into the creative space. And so you're almost like forcing your nervous system out of that place of, okay, I'm just focused on the problem and all my energy is going to the problem. And you're actually using your energy and your mental faculties for something greater than just what you're feeling in your body in the current time based on your circumstances.
100%. Yeah, thanks for bringing that more like grounded scientific point of view to it as well. Like the nervous system, how our brain works, like quite literally when we are stressed, like you said, like, I mean, you said it so quickly, but I want to invite you to unpack it, because I think you can unpack it way more brilliantly than I can. But specifically, what does happen in our body and to our mind when we are in that stress state, and what you mean by that our perception narrows?
Well, like when you're in a stress state, like the fight or flight mode, like your physiology literally changes so that you're just focused on getting through the problem. And so your whole body, your whole perception, your whole thoughts are focused on the specific problem, and you don't have the ability to think new thoughts, to think new, like more creative thoughts, right? So by being able to shift into like thinking about something that you really want, or like goals or like hopes and dreams, it actually allows you to move out of that fight or flight state and actually think about some new thoughts. The thing that I was saying about kind of narrowing your vision, that's actually one of the physiological things that happen. Like your vision narrows when you're stressed.
Yes, like the physical kind of, vision.
Yeah,
your narrows down.
Like narrows.
Yeah.
And again, like when you're thinking about stress or you're thinking about a problem, like your reticular activating system, which I think we were going to get to farther on in the episode, it's just going to focus on the problem because you're going to be looking out for it. It's not going to be looking at solutions. It's going to be right. looking for a quick way to either run or fight.
Mm.
So in order to kind of get back into that more fluid, I don't know, just like easier thinking, I guess.
More open thinking.
Yeah. Like having dreams or visions or hopes kind of gets you into that space.
Definitely. Which, I know we've definitely, I've probably like a dozen different times in different episodes in this podcast that we've talked about the reticular activating system, but if you're listening and it's the first time you're hearing it, just to clarify or to dive deeper into that. So the reticular activating system is literally a bundle of neurons at the base of our brainstem that's near. And that bundle of neurons, their job is to literally mediate our level of awareness, which means that when you give it a focus, when you say to your brain, like, we're going to look for X, Y, and Z, like a classic example is like, if you're researching new cars to buy, and let's say it's a certain make and model of a car, like a red sports car, you're going to start seeing more red sports cars on the road, especially if you're in a very big city. So it's not because there's more of those around the week after you started looking for cars, but it's literally that your reticular activating system is focused on that. So it's what you're giving your attention, like a goal to seek for. And so what Chris is saying is like during stress, you're only looking for like the simplest answer or the most logical answer, and your vision, you literally shut down in a way and only get very rigid in your thinking to like only like try to find out like the way through that makes most sense to your brain. Whereas most problems that we face, especially in our day and age, it requires more creative or open thinking that will solve those issues just in a different way. So
yeah, and
go ahead.
Yeah. Just another point on that. Like that stress system, the fight or flight system, really evolved from, back when we were like cavemen, and the problems were super physical. It's like, okay, like there's a tiger attacking me, or like, and I need to run or I need to hide. But nowadays, like most of our problems aren't really immediate physical problems. And so they actually require us to get back into our prefrontal cortex and our which is like the seat of our thinking brain and our creative brain, to solve most of the problems that we're facing in today's day and age. Again, like if you're about to get hit by a car, it's fine, jump out of the way, like run, but you're going to need your higher faculties to, let's say, get out of a stressful situation of, I don't have enough money, or I don't know what to do with my life, or, you know, so it's going to require that higher level of thinking. And if you stay in that stress state of just being your body thinking that's a physical danger, it's not going to work. Like you're going to be stuck there for a bit.
Or forever, potentially. Or forever. That's why a lot of people live literally the same experience, maybe changed a little bit here or there, but like generally the same, like same level of income, same kind of job, same kind of friends, same kind of relationships, like over and over again, because they haven't shifted the awareness. That actually makes me think of Albert Einstein. He has a fantastic quote that speaks to this. He says, "No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it." So we literally have to shift and change, which it's kind of, in a way, to our, at least how our physiology is wired, it's kind of backwards in a way. Like it requires like a shift in like relaxing, quite literally relaxing and being more at ease, which, coming back to the point of this whole episode, is that when we get focused on a dream, a goal, and it all worked out like that, it's exactly as we would love it to be, then our nervous system does relax. Like we start to open up because we're signaling to our mind and our body that everything has worked out, even though logically, like our mind might fight against that. It's like, oh no, but you don't know how, like, you don't have the answer yet. Well, right. But the only way that an answer will come is if we start shifting our consciousness or shifting our perception, relaxing, being at ease to at least accept that there is an answer. You may not know the answer yet or the way through, but to trust that there is an answer, there is a way through, is actually what reveals that insight or that solution.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. And it is kind of interesting too, how, you know, the stress response and even just thinking positively, it has such an impact on your physiology. Like from the minute that you have that thought, it, you know, fires neurons in your brain, and those neurons, you know, fire with other neurons, and it creates physiological changes in your body. So that's why you kind of feel like shit when you're thinking about negative things over and over again.
Right.
And why you start to feel more light and positive when you think about positive things. So kind of just to go back to your point of that you said in the beginning about having dreams and goals might seem light and airy. Like sometimes it does in the beginning, but it's like you're actually doing something by even just entertaining some new thoughts. Like there's actually physiological change that's happening in your body. And if you are stuck in like a stress response, let's say, and you are, you know, paying attention to circumstances and conditions, there's nothing wrong with you. Like that's how your body was designed. You know what I mean? It's like understanding that there's nothing wrong with me. This is normal. And then making the conscious shift to start thinking about things that are more uplifting, or thinking about a dream, or thinking about a goal, and just kind of building that sense of hope that things aren't going to be this way forever. And what can I do, even if it's something super small right now, today, that can help me move towards that. And, you know, once you get some momentum, you'll be unstoppable at that point.
100%. I want to add as well, because I think, you know, I do my best as we're recording, like whether it's with a guest or with you and I, or even by myself, as I'm recording episodes, like I get these I think it's like my intuition speaking to me. It's like a question pops in my mind, or an idea pops in my mind of like, playing like, you know, the devil's advocate of like, oh, but what about this? And because I imagine that some people listening might have this kind of hang up with this whole topic when it comes to thinking positive, like you said. And what if someone's saying like, oh, but I've tried that. I think a really, really key point that needs to be understood and then applied is that it's not about forcing the positive thought or forcing yourself to focus on your dream or your vision or a goal or some positive outcome. Because a lot of people, I think, try using positive thinking, but it's like they're trying to like cram it in like next to like 90,000 other like negative thoughts or like negative feelings. So it's important, I think, to really work on bringing our vision or our dream or our goal to mind in a relaxed state so that those positive thoughts are actually accepted. It's not like you're trying to force yourself, but you're actually just considering like, oh, like what if it could be like this? What if I could solve this issue? What would that feel like? And just entertaining it just passively in a way, like when I say passively, but more like just at ease.
Yeah.
You know, cause like you said, there's power to it, but if we try to force it, then it's not going to work.
No, that's a good point. I think that's why the using what if is so brilliant, because it's not like saying, oh, this has to be the way it is. Cause that also can cause some stress too. Like if you're really, you know, you're on a path of negative thinking and you're really focused on circumstances, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Like forcing a positive thought might actually be more stressful because like it's even working. It's so like incongruent with what you're actually seeing in the world that it could not even stick at all. Exactly. So kind of having that what if mentality and just, you know, kind of playing with it a little bit. And that's why in the beginning of the podcast and throughout, I've used that word hope, because that's kind of what I think of it as, especially if you're in a really, really dark place. It's like just having this sense that things are going to work out or things, you know, they're going to be okay. It's like, I don't know how, like things are really bad right now, but it's like, you know, things are going to get better. It's like having that hope. That
exactly.
That, yeah.
Yes. Dude, this idea, like, and this is, I think, why I'm probably thinking of it so clearly right now, is that this was, and if someone's like an avid listener of the podcast, they're probably aware that I've been reading a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It was published in 1960. It's incredible how the wisdom can still transfer to this day. And he gives this one example about, I mean, he literally is the one who like put forward this idea of like, just like take one step in like considering like, what if, like a positive, what if, but he gave this beautiful analogy and connection that, a physical example, an analogy is like, if like think about lifting weights, like you don't go to like the heaviest weight right away to like lift. You start incrementally, like just lifting what you can. That's a little bit of a challenge, but it's doable, so that you're building that kind of, I mean, quite literally building muscle, right? But like even like Olympic weightlifters, like if they max out or like they're at a certain like max weight, and they've hit a plateau, but they want to go further, they'll literally like reduce the weight and do a lot of reps with that to like build up this kind of muscle memory of like, I could do this at a lower weight, and then slowly, incrementally, like pound by pound, like slowly build up to further, you know, and that's usually how they beat their like personal record. There was another example of that, but that's like the primary one. But that, and then he draws the parallel to that. We got to do that same thing with our thinking. Is that if it feels too heavy or too difficult to think, oh, it's going to totally work out, and you feel like fully 100% in believing that, if that's too difficult to believe, then you start with the positive what if, like considering like maybe it is possible. I don't know, but just maybe. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm not deciding like, yes, this is going to happen. Like my situation is going to change in the near future, but like just considering what if. So it's like to not stress yourself out, like you said. And I really love that analogy. It helped me a lot to like think like, yeah, I could do that. Like what's the simple, you know, what if in the positive side, and just start considering that.
I love examples that relate the things that we talk about to physical things. Say like working out. Because working out is a great example for a lot of things. It's like, you don't build muscle by, again, going to the heaviest thing. You work slowly over time. Because I think people understand and can relate more to physical like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes mentally it's a little difficult. It's like, okay, like, you know, because you have so many thoughts per day. It's like, it's, you don't think of it as reps, right? But it kind of is like that. And it's really like what I'm hearing you saying. It's like really working with what your nervous system will allow at this moment in time. Because, you know, some of us have very inflexible nervous systems. Like if we've been stuck in fight or flight for so long, your body's so used to it that it's like, it feels normal. Like it's going to stay stuck there, and to shift out into a more relaxed parasympathetic nervous system type, it's going to take some more work. Right. And so it's about building that flexibility in your nervous system, which I would love to do a whole podcast on, because I'm really looking into that more recently. And like, one of the things I want to say too, if someone's really struggling with this, sometimes just eliminating the bad inputs would help. So let's say like, you know, some people's circumstances and situations really are super difficult, but if your circumstances and situations are difficult, and then you're watching the news every day and you're trying to follow like everything that's happening in the world, and you're trying to like hold space for everything that's happening in the world, like you're fighting a losing battle. So sometimes it's about eliminating like, and reducing the things that are causing you stress, and truly really just kind of focus for the time being on what you can really do to kind of help yourself through that.
Right.
Cause I've been tanked by the news before, and I can tell. It's like, this isn't good for me. Right. So the news is just an example. There could be other things that you're dealing with, maybe a bad relationship or like something that you can just back off of a little bit, where it's like just eliminating the stress, reducing it.
another example, I mean, health-wise, like certain foods, you know, like, you know, for sure that Coca-Cola is not going to be good for you once a day. Like all that sugar
I
just
wish it
flooding
was.
your body. Yeah, I wish it was too. It's so delicious. But oh, that
Me
poison is so
and my
delicious.
friend Richard, we call Pepsi or Coke like the nectar of the gods.
Although it's completely the opposite,
Oh,
right?
yeah, no, exactly. It's just so delicious.
Yeah. But yeah, simple things. I think that's a great example, or the great suggestion, Chris, like just to, because it makes me think of another physical example, not exercise or weightlifting, but I've used this example in the past that if you want to lift yourself up or to become, I don't know, you can say like in a higher vibration, a great analogy is like it's like a hot air balloon. Literally, how a hot air balloon rises is that they have sandbags that they just let go. It's like they don't even actually add more hot air to the air balloon. It's there, it's fully like ready to go, but they just have to cut loose the weights that are holding it down. That's it. And then it
And then I
naturally
get,
rises up.
interesting. Yeah.
So no, it's both, right? It's like
Yeah.
the positive things, like it's like the hot air to actually lift yourself up, but then like you're saying, it's like to cut out the negative or to cut out the things that are weighing you
Oh,
down.
I see your example now.
You
I
got
get
it?
your example now. Yeah.
Well,
Cause like you,
explain
cause
it.
you, cause you can already be, cause you can already be a full hot air balloon and
Yeah.
the sandbags are just holding you down. So literally just cutting out the negativity, you'll start to rise.
Exactly. Yes.
I follow you now.
100%. I'm glad you knew, because honestly, maybe someone else didn't. Like, we're like, what kind of analogy is that, Kevin? But that's why I asked you to explain
No,
it.
dude, I'll be honest. You know why I had to repeat your analogy? Because I didn't space out a little bit, but when you were talking about higher balloons in the air, I was thinking about Sokka's invention from
Yes.
Avatar by opening the top. So
Yep. Oh, for sure. That's another good one.
yeah.
Dude, have you watched the live action one yet?
Bad.
You don't like it?
Dude, come on. Like it's
Well, yeah, to like the OG, like
I know,
I get it.
it's just, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Aang is like wrong. Like, I don't know, I just don't like his acting. I feel like Zuko is not angry enough. Like,
Yeah, I see
you
it.
know, yeah.
I'm just happy to get a better live action than the movie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, if you're comparing it to that, it's loads better. But like, I think we're through like five or six episodes now, and I just don't feel like Aang, Sokka, and Katara are like friends. Like they're, you know,
Yeah.
building that relationship that you loved in the show. And then
Right.
Katara is so focused on waterbending. It's like, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like that's her whole thing. So there's like some like good parts and some shining moments and stuff, but I feel like overall it's just something's just missing. And that's how
Yeah.
I feel. It's like it's missing something.
I agree. I think so too. But like, I'm honestly looking past that because, like, again, it's live action and like they are keeping it pretty canon. Like
Yeah.
a lot of the things, not everything, but
Oh yeah,
still
they're hitting like
the major
main
things.
parts of the things. Yeah, it's just,
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's the thing for me, like that's missing. It's like, yeah, I see, you know, the special effects are cool, the bending is cool,
Right.
but it's just like I miss that camaraderie that I feel like they're not building enough. I don't
Yeah.
know.
I don't even know if it was possible if they could, you know, even if they did
Yeah.
focus on it, 'cause like it's so short of an episodes compared to like book one, season one is like, I don't know, 28 episodes or something like that of half
Yeah,
an hour
22.
episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, however many, but so like I get it, like, 'cause they build up more. Yeah. Anyway, I still love it. Anyway, digressing. We digress.
Yeah.
Where do we even get off on? Oh yeah, the hot air balloon
And, you
analogy.
know,
But yeah, so,
cutting out negative things.
right. Which, you know, to bring that in for a landing, that whole point, like, it seems so simple, right? And it is, but it's not easy. And when you actually do those things, like to really cut out those negative things in your life, like to really consider what is holding me back or holding me down, and like deciding to cut it out, like even if it's not every day, like, you know, you completely cut it out cold turkey, but like reducing it is going to extremely help. Like that, it's simple to do, but it's a matter of actually applying it. And the application of that principle is what you'll see is like the change in your life. But I think it actually perfectly ties back to this whole topic about, again, the power of your dreams, is that the only way you'll actually be inspired to cut out those things is if you have an idea, a vision of, well, what would life look like without those things? What would like life look like for me when I have actually resolved these issues and that I'm living this kind of more positive life?
You know, you can also look at a dream or a vision as like once you have a pretty good solid one, it doesn't have to be like perfect, but once you have a pretty good solid one, you can then ask yourself that question, you know, what should I be doing on a daily basis, or you know, if, to bring about that dream, like what type of person am I going to need to become? And sometimes you'll just start, once you ask those questions, you start to notice things that you just have to kind of like start letting go of.
Right.
So it can kind of help you, like kind of gives you that North Star kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Exactly. I feel like that's like really important. And like, we can also go into some more, I just want to mention this, like some more science about like the nervous system and just like enduring like pain and suffering. Like if you, when you have a vision or you have like a purpose, like you can actually endure more pain and suffering. Because like there's like, you have like a meaning of being here, a purpose of being here. And you know, the Viktor Frankl story is kind of the thing that I think about in my head about him surviving the Nazi concentration camps. Cause again, he had this idea of some kind of psychology he wanted to bring forward about just,
right.
you know, keeping that one space in your, inside your body and inside your mind that they couldn't touch. And he wanted to bring that to the world. And so he was able to endure a lot more pain than some other people would. Mm. And so like having a vision or having a dream or having something that you're working towards, it can really help you navigate through these difficult times.
Right.
Like it really can. Like even just from like a scientific perspective too, about what your nervous system can handle.
Exactly. Dude, that's such a good, I wouldn't even like think of that before we hit record, but Viktor Frankl's story is really good. And dude, in a coaching call just today, I was telling a client about this idea. It's another just analogy that I think about all the time when it comes to like facing challenges or difficulty in life, the analogy to literally playing a guitar. So when you first start playing a guitar, especially acoustic guitar, because the strings are that much more stiff and like very difficult to press down to play a really clear, solid chord, it hurts. Like if you haven't really played before, it is painful on your fingers. But that difficulty over time, if you play again, day after day, hour after hour, over weeks and months, your physical body literally forms calluses to be able to then play that guitar way easier. So it's literally life itself, like that spirit of life moving through our physical body that forms those calluses to deal with that challenge and then simply overcome that challenge in a way. And then it gets easy to actually play the guitar and play beautiful music. So I love that analogy because that's such a simple micro example to then, if you take it to a macro of our life, that when we face really difficult, challenging times, then that could be what is going on in our life if we have that North Star, that vision. Because, you know, if someone's playing the guitar and like, dude, remember when we got a acoustic guitar when we were like 12 years old after playing Guitar Hero and like, oh my God, we want to play guitar. Dude, I practiced for maybe like a week or two and like, I was like, I'm done. This hurts way too much. Like I didn't have the good enough vision or that's burning desire enough to be a really good guitar player, but you did.
I did build up some good calluses for a bit.
You did. Oh for yeah. Sure. And obviously it wasn't, you know, years, but at least like enough to form that for you. Cause you had more of a strong desire than I did.
Dude, we had some pretty good examples in this podcast. We got like, we covered like fitness enthusiasts, hot air balloon enthusiasts, music enthusiasts. Now we got something for everybody right now.
Right. Exactly. Well, speaking of examples, cause there's a bunch we actually did prepare it. And so I want to actually just share a bit as we're coming in for our landing with this episode, cause it is pretty straightforward and just like really connecting with your vision, your dream. And yes, to your logical mind, it might seem ridiculous or like, oh, how are you going to do that? Or is it possible? But that actually doesn't freaking matter. What you're doing is to inspire yourself with a dream that is of a life beyond your normal. And so, yes, it's going to seem crazy, but only if you accept it, is it going to help you move through these times that you might be going through. So just some other examples that are more in history of actual people going through challenging times and then having a vision that really saw them through it. First, Mahatma Gandhi in India, classic example. He was actually the leader of the whole movement for the freedom of India from British rule. And that was from a vision that he had, that he wanted to see his people free and also go by means of non-violent protest. So that would not have happened. And he inspired a lot of people. In fact, there was a fantastic movie that was made about that. That was pretty accurate to the history. I forget what it was called, but I watched it, I think, in like high school for like, you know, history class or whatever. But that him having a vision is what clearly brought him through all of those challenges. And there was a lot of people against his way of liberating India. Like they wanted to be violent, or some people that like didn't even believe it was possible. Yet he stood there and would inspire tens of thousands of people to follow his lead in that. Next one, Unless you have something to add, Chris.
No, I don't. I'm just here for the history.
Here for the ride. Yeah. Okay. Next example. This one I actually learned a bit more about from our mentor, Mary Morrissey. She actually got to meet Nelson Mandela before he had passed away and ask him some questions about how the heck did he do it? Did he go from being in prison in South Africa to then being released and then actually becoming president of the country in which he was imprisoned in, and then helped, you know, of course, the end of apartheid there. So he told her the story about how it was his vision that actually got him through those years in prison. I think it was 27 years in prison, but he got these ideas of what if, like, this is his what if, the positive what if me being in prison was actually a part of the process of ending apartheid in this country? That idea was what, like, landed for him after a few years in prison, and he latched onto that. And then the ideas years and years later came to, like, write letters to people in the United States and get help and to have that message spread worldwide so that more and more people could actually be supportive to have the liberation of his people. So that was another incredible example that just comes from history, that one person having a vision, it overcame some of the most difficult circumstances. I mean, quite literally, he was supposed to be in prison for life, and yet he was part of the liberation of those people. So that was Nelson Mandela. I mean, using his vision. I mean, there's also the classic Martin Luther King Jr. and his "I Have a Dream" speech, which this is something I learned outside of school only years later. But did you know, Chris, that that wasn't planned?
What, his speech wasn't planned?
Yeah. He wasn't actually meant to give that "I Have a Dream" speech. It was something else that he had prepared, but in the moment, I mean, seeing 250,000 people, you know, that he was speaking to, like, he literally just, like, felt inspired to share that kind of message and just went off, like, just...
My guy went rogue.
Yeah, I mean, probably off script. Felt like God speaking through him, honestly. But, like, that "I Have a Dream" speech, like, it was not about "I have a plan," it's "I have a dream." So that shifted and changed our world in the United States and was a huge part of the movement of, I mean, what was that movement called, Chris?
Civil rights movement.
Yes, duh. Mm-hmm. I was having a brain fart there, but yeah, the civil rights movement. So, like, all of that, like, it would not have been as effective, obviously, without that kind of vision, that kind of dream, which obviously a lot of people resonated with. And then one final example. I love this example too, because it goes back to the inventors and what Chris was saying earlier in this episode, that anything new created had to have a vision, a dream to overcome the obstacles. And the Wright brothers are a clear example of that. But I love their example because they not only were inventors and created something completely new in human history, the man-powered flight, but not many people know this, but I read about this story in Start With Why by Simon Sinek. He writes about how there was another gentleman, Samuel Pierpont Langley, who not many people know at all, but he was I don't even remember exactly what he was, but like mathematician, he was an inventor, I guess you could say.
Exactly. You don't even know what he
was. He's not even history. Yeah. But he was actually given a grant, like a $50,000 grant from the United States government to discover or to create man-powered flights so that they can use it in war. And I mean, he had all of, like, I mean, the best minds that he were working on his team, and yet he did not create the first man-powered flight. It was the Wright brothers, because the Wright brothers were building a dream and were more motivated by desire, versus Samuel Pierpont Langley was motivated by fame and money. So it wasn't like a passion project for him, but it was for the Wright brothers. So that clear vision helped them literally attract ideas from the infinite to actually create something new that has never been created before. So those are just some really big, quote unquote, big examples, you know, and obviously human history, but we can take inspiration from that and use it in our life for something that we have not created yet in our life.
Yeah, those are great examples. You know?
Yes, I do know, Chris. Yes. But I'll say
I wanted to add something, but the examples are just they're so succinct and, like, they're very well known. Like, I feel like everyone knows those examples. And it's like when you learn about those people in school, it's like maybe you didn't have the realization that it's like, yeah, they had this dream to do this thing. And each one of those people were, you know, they went through really tough things, like probably tougher than any of us have ever experienced. I'm just saying that generally, Like, unless someone's in our podcast has been in jail for 27 years, like that's crazy. It's like, and they were able to be able to move through that because of the power of the human mind and the power of their perception about what they were going through and that hope that they had about what the end goal was going to be.
Right. Yeah. The vision. Exactly. I want to add one final thing though. So we're bringing this in for our landing that, like it can actually full circle coming back to the very beginning, what I first said that, dreams can seem light and airy or like very intangible, and they are, but that's only because in the beginning they are delicate. One final analogy, I always love this analogy, is that dreams are quite literally like a newborn baby. I mean, it's a newborn baby of a dream when we first dream up some new kind of experience we would love to create in our life or love to experience. But it's like quite literally like a newborn baby, is that a newborn baby can't fend for itself. Like it takes time for that little baby to like grow strong, to be able to actually have the mind and the body to be able to take care of itself. It takes years. So dreams are kind of like that, that you have to build it up over time and nourish it quite literally, like how you'd nourish a baby multiple times a day and feed it and take care of it. So it's the same thing with our dreams, that if we don't treat them kindly and treat them with reverence and build them up over time and nourish them with our attention, with our thought, with our energy, our feeling, our love, then it's not going to grow into the strength that it can be or the power it can have in our life. So it does take time. So just keep coming back to your vision when you have it. And if you do have one, then yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It does take some time to really nurture that.
And then if you are really struggling, like just kind of go back to the question of what if and just start there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And this actually also just popped in my mind, which will lead us perfectly into the very, very ending of this, that it's way easier, I think, to stay connected with your vision when you're in a community of people or you have some people around you that are dreamers as well. Because if you're dreaming on your own and you have people around you that are so tuned into reality around them and don't even dream themselves or have goals, then it could be easy to feel like you're crazy. It's like, what are you doing? Like, and seem like, oh, this is not real or it's not tangible. There's not like substance or power to having a vision, having a dream. So, I mean, obviously I applaud you for listening to the end of this episode, but also get around people who are dreamers that are actually connected to a vision of a life that they want to create, maybe for their own life, but also maybe for the change they want to see in the world. And sometimes that could be hard to come by, people around you. So if you are looking for a community or looking for a space to actually go deeper with your visions, to connect with other like-minded people for your vision, I invite you to come to my next upcoming event called Soul Builder Live. So if you want to hear more details, read all about it, there's a video I have on this page about Soul Builder Live. It's a one-day virtual event on Zoom that I'm hosting to help you get clear on your vision, get connected with it more deeply through an exercise that I call Time Machine that I've learned from my mentor. And we're also going to put some action behind that. And I'll share with you a system of transformation that works if you work it, works with the laws of the universe. And so you can bring that dream into your reality. And so again, that is a perfect place to come to bring your dreams and to stoke the fire of your desire for that dream. And again, it's a one-day virtual event. So if you want to find out more details and get your ticket, then you can click the link in the description of this episode. The next event is happening on March 23rd, Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. And if you're listening to this, I also love giving a discount off of tickets if you got to the end of this episode. So if you use code podcast, literally the word podcast, you type that in as a code, then you get 50% off your ticket. But again, all that those details and the link is in the description of this episode. Or if you prefer to just go straight to the website, it's www.soulbuilderlive.com. And I look forward to seeing you there.
Nice.
And that's it. Any final thoughts, Chris?
No, I don't think so. I was gonna say something, but I think I'm good. I think I feel complete with this episode.
Sweet. Me too. Yeah, we've, I think, gotten through everything, honestly, that we had prepared or planned for with this, but
and extra.
And that's extra. Nice. Yeah, that's true. Very, very much so. Especially with the subtle, or not subtle, but like the side references of pop culture.
Yeah,
I enjoyed those. But yeah, with that said, keep on dreaming and we'll see you on another episode.
Peace.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.